the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
Everybody, it is the New York Knicks podcast, 600th episode, Mark.
You're a liar.
So we've been doing this for a while. We're doing this for
so now we're get to the point where our episode number, well, the Knicks will never have a winning percentage as high as our episode number.
Right. We're getting to the
Jay,
point.
We should be like, this is episode 237, where Knicks will always be higher than this number.
Hopefully. I think there was one season we did where they were a little bit lower, but we won't talk about that season.
How far are the Knicks away from being having as good a record as show number we're doing?
Well, I mean, they're like another all-star away.
I mean, 60% winning percentage is like 48, 49 wins, something like that.
It's not like too far away from where they are. It's just the East.
But next season, the number's going to be higher because we keep doing shows because we're morons.
Well, I mean, the East is stacked now, so it's harder to get 50 wins.
Harder. Yeah, it's harder.
Although, Charlotte and Detroit are doing their best to help everybody else out.
Yes, it is nice of them. Charlotte, they have LaMelo Ball, who's good, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the rest of the roster kind of sucks. But do you think that plus the top, I mean, they could be very good very fast. I assume they're tanking at this point.
Well, I mean, even if they're not, it's kind of like one of those Knicks seasons where they weren't tanking, but they won 23 games just because they stunk.
Yeah. I would think that with LaMelo, he'd be good enough to make them better. Whatever. He's been injured also a bunch. Forget them. Let's talk Knicks. A lot of stories going around the Knicks. Since last show, the Knicks had huge wins against the Celtics and the Cavs, but we don't do enough shows to celebrate. since then, of course, they lost to the Nets and the Lakers, frustratingly enough. And we're back to hating our team or just being in kind of this purgatory of middle of the road, not goodness. How are you doing, Jay? How are you feeling after Cleveland and Celtics?
I was feeling pretty good. I mean, this team looks completely different on a night-to-night basis, and you never know what team's going to show up. And it doesn't help that Mitch is injured because some of these lineups just cannot stop anybody. Like, the Knicks really need Mitch to come back. And Sims looks like he's good on defense, but all of the plus minus numbers, all of the defensive rating numbers seem to indicate that he's not.
No. Hart is getting a lot of minutes lately because Sims does not look amazing. Even though eye test sometimes he looks good, but there's a reason Mitch has the number one plus minus in the whole team or on off court rating.
Yeah. So somebody posted the defensive rating of everybody on the team since Mitch has been out, and they're all well over 100. Like, they're all between 108 and like 130 something. Like, it's really
who was the worst? Who was the best?
The worst was Sims. Randall was, I think, second, and like RJ was third.
Yeah, our cornerstones.
Go on. the best was IQ.
Yes, he's been very good.
But without Mitch, still, like, not great.
So they need Mitch back.
It is rumor week. Trade deadline is in 2 weeks.
Yes.
There's rumors aplenty. Also, I guess it's worth noting that last game, for the last 6 minutes of the fourth and overtime, RJ was on the bench and seemed quite pissed off about that.
Yeah. Just before we even mention this, can I say one thing?
Mm-hmm.
This offseason, the front office does not have to fire Tibbs. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of positive about Tibbs, even though there's also a lot of negatives. And fans are very frustrated with many things, but the Knicks are playing really hard for him, which is a fact. He seems to be developing players. Just there are definitely some positives. And when you compare him to the trash we had before him as far as a coach, he doesn't – there are a lot of coaches have faults. But what I want to say is if the front office this offseason, if they don't get an offensive coach to work with Tibbs to make this offense better, the front office should just step down.
Yeah, yeah.
You should – yeah.
I'm sick of coming out of timeouts. And, like, every time they come out of a timeout, you're like, who's going to ISO it? Like, it's not even – it's never a play. It's just an ISO.
It's just an ISO after ISO after ISO. I mean, the last play of regulation against the Lakers was a terribly drawn up play. And I guess Tibbs said, well, he needs to read the situation better. Randle should have passed out. But the ball should not necessarily be in Randle's hands at the end of regulation. And I get Brunson was really – like, I forget who was on Brunson, but he was guarded – give the Grimes, give it to anyone else. It's not going to be – Randle is not going to work out at the end of the game.
Well, especially when he gets double-teamed by Davis and LeBron. Like, not many people are going to get out of that situation with 4 seconds.
Don't put him
in that situation, you know?
I mean, you got to go to Tibbs and go, hey, listen, we think you've done a great job with the team. We know the roster has limitations. We're going to try to make the roster better. But we also think the offense has limitations. We think you're a great coach. The team hustles for you. Everything else. We love what you do on defense. The offense is not great. We're going to find an offensive coordinator or coach to work with you and make the offense better. If you're not up for this idea, well, you're fired.
Yeah. So I know the Knicks obviously don't have anybody in the same stratosphere as Curry, but he runs off double screens a lot. And I almost never even see single screens to open up a 3-point shooter. I mean, it doesn't.
No, but the Knicks get a fair amount of open 3-point shots. I don't think the lack of open. You're right. They don't necessarily. There's not a lot of off ball action to begin with, and there's not a lot of setting picks for guys off ball to get them open, which there should be. But you think the Knicks are lacking in open 3-pointers?
I think they're lacking in general ball movement.
Yeah.
And they, I feel like when they have open threes, it's more like Randle backs somebody down and gets double teamed, and he kicks it out. It's not like. More of a flow.
You're right, but the it's still a wide open three, and the guys have had to hit them. I mean, for instance, the Knicks would have beaten the Lakers if Quentin Grimes could hit a three. Grimes has been I love his defense. He was attacking the basket more yesterday, but he hasn't been hitting threes lately.
I mean, the whole team pretty much stinks at threes.
Yeah, no one can shoot in this team. The team would just look better if. Like yesterday, I watched in the game, and the Lakers, who was hit a three? They had the guy, they had some rookie Christie. They had Bryant on the bench hit. They had even Westbrook hit a three, but they had like other players that could hit threes. Every team seems to have other players that can hit threes. The Knicks seem to have no one that can hit threes.
Yeah, so that brings me to another point I wanted the rumors that were coming up.
Okay.
So. Trade deadline's coming soon, and the names that have been coming up for the Knicks are Sadiq Bey.
Steph Curry?
Sadiq Bey. What do you think about that?
So Sadiq Bey, he always looks decent against the Knicks. Its problem is I always watch these players when they play the Knicks.
I know.
So it's hard to know who's actually good. Sadiq Bey, you would think he's a young player on a terrible Detroit roster. You'd think they would not want to trade him. He's an inefficient player. He doesn't shoot a high shooting percentage. Is he a good defender?
I heard not really.
Yeah. I think if a terrible team wants to get rid of a young player, I don't want to get my hands off of that. Maybe Detroit's just a dysfunctional team, but it's weird that he's 23 and Detroit has no interest in keeping him on a terrible roster.
So, My thoughts are that the Knicks' biggest need, I would say, is 3-point shooting. And he's only his third year in the league, but he has a career average of 35.7%. And 36 is league average.
His effective field goal percentage of the year, I have his stats up, is 40. It's 48%. We don't need more guys. We have plenty of guys that can't shoot. We don't need more guys that cannot shoot.
Right. He's barely shooting 40% from the field. The whole season, and I don't know why they're targeting guys that also can't shoot when they have plenty of those. So the other one is OG Anunoby.
Okay, so OG is the guy you really should bring up. He's the guy, the biggest rumor.
I brought up Bay first because I felt like that, like, Bay for Cam, like, both teams are like, eh, whatever.
You think Detroit would do that?
Bay for Cam? They'd probably need another piece for the Knicks, right? Like, Bay actually starts a lot of the games.
Yeah, I mean, if you're giving away, if the trade is for Cam, I'll take just about anything. Knicks aren't playing Cam. It's something for nothing. A second round pick for him is something for nothing. And he will not be on the team after the deadline. But Sadiq Bey would help, I guess. It's not like a terrible guy to get. But if it's just for Cam, it's just not going to be just for Cam.
It doesn't help their needs.
Yeah, it doesn't really make them better. I completely agree. So I guess the OG. The rumor is the Knicks would be offering 3 first round picks for him, though not the best first round picks.
Oh, it better be the protected ones, because like 3 picks for, I don't know. He played less than 50 games the last 2 seasons. He's played 45 this season, which is almost all of them, which is great.
It's injury concerns are the biggest issue with him, right?
And he's barely above league average from 3. Like, I feel like they really need a really good 3-point shooter.
Well, I mean, he does do a lot. He would add a lot to the team. So you get him. He is a real small forward who can really play defense. He adds more size to the team. You put him on, I guess he goes with a starter. I mean, he goes with the starters. Grimes, maybe Grimes moves to the bench. Your bench gets better that way also. He's an elite defender. Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference. Now you have more guys that can play defense. He may not be 40% 3-point shooter, but it looks like he's shooting 36% from 3 over for 5 a game. Generally, most of his seasons, he hasn't been terrible from 3.
No, he's
been
like
36% or higher
average,
most of his career. Mm-hmm. So he's not a bad 3-point shooter. He can score. He's not like super efficient guy, but like he's 45% or higher from the field. He's a very good player.
Yeah, I mean, he puts up better numbers than RJ in every category except assists.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about field goal percentage, free throw percentage, everything. Assists, blocks. Steals, blocks.
If you could get him just for draft capital, is it worth doing? Let's just say you're keeping this year's pick. Mm-hmm. You're your own pick this year, and let's say you're keeping the Dallas pick, but you're giving up your own pick in 2024, say, and two other protected picks. I think you're not getting it for that cheap, but do you do that trade?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he makes your roster better.
Well,
no
also,
question.
I think the 2 protected picks are going to end up second rounders anyway. So,
okay, what if it's they want the 2024, 2026 first round picks from you, your own plus 1 protected pick, and you don't give up, and maybe Obi or something like that. Obi and Fournier to make the set salaries work.
I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. I'd rather throw an RJ and keep a pick.
I don't know if you're going to be able to throw an RJ and keep the pick, because I think the pick is going to be, they're going to have a lot of value for the pick. I think they might want picks more than they want RJ.
Probably. Also,
I mean, if you're trading, I mean, like, why make this trade if you don't want draft capital? I mean, like, is Toronto much better with RJ over OG?
Did you see the interview with Masai?
No. What did he say?
He's the decision maker for Toronto. And
yes.
He was in
he's the guy that screws us in trades. Yes.
Yeah, he was in an interview and he said, I hate the Knicks. So I don't know if he's going to be making deals with the Knicks.
Why? First of all, why would he not make a trade with us? Because he knows he can screw us.
Right. He's 2 for 2 on screwing the Knicks. So, like, why not go for a hat trick?
He screwed us on the Barks trade, right?
Yes.
Was he in Denver for the Melo trade?
I feel like he was the one who did the Melo trade too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tune into New York Knicks podcast for no facts, or maybe some facts, or kind of facts. Who knows?
Yes, I think he did the Melo trade and then moved to Toronto for the Barks trade.
I'm pretty sure he was involved in that trade. Either way, maybe he hates the Knicks. I think he would do a trade with the Knicks, maybe, probably. Either way, like, so how much better are we if we get OG? Let's just say, for the sake of argument, you keep RJ. It makes more sense you keep RJ, right?
I guess. Well, are you moving RJ to the bench? Are you moving Grimes to the bench?
Yeah, you're moving one of the guys to the bench. Let's say you're making it work because your roster is fuller. You have more players that can score and do things, right?
Yeah, I'm always of the opinion you should add talent. And, you know, if you can't figure out the fit, then you make another move. You trade somebody else.
Because I'm getting Toronto wants to trade him because they can't figure out how to win. They don't necessarily want to pay him. So what do they want RJ, who they're going to have to pay a lot of money to?
Right, unless they think RJ's not being utilized right and, you know, he has potential in their system or whatever.
Right, right. I mean, I'm sure they can – I mean, anyone can develop guys better than the Knicks. But I think for the Knicks, you'd want to keep – you want to just add to your – like, I don't know if OG is a – OG is not like the star trade. He's not like Donovan Mitchell here. He's a very good player. He makes your team better, but he doesn't put you over the top. You really don't necessarily want to swap out one of your better players for him. You'd rather just add to him to the roster.
I mean,
for this to make sense.
Honestly, if you moved RJ to the bench and had him lead the bench, now you have like a really good scorer leading the bench, and you have a nasty defensive starting lineup.
You do. That would be pretty awesome having, I guess, Grimes, maybe he covers it. Like, Grimes and OG, plus you have Mitch out there when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. You have a hell of a defense, which really makes up for Brunson and Randall's shortcomings, and they'll also be encouraged to play harder defense.
Right, and honestly, you know, Randall has been improved on defense this year, and Brunson is not terrible on defense.
No, that looks pretty good. And then your bench, you have Grimes. You have IQ.
Well, no, you would start Grimes. So you would have.
Oh, sorry. You have IQ. You have RJ. In theory, you also will. I don't. This is a deep draft. I'd like to keep the New York pick and the Dallas pick this year. Draft players and add them to the roster in the hopes that you probably draft guys that can shoot and play defense, and you add more guys to the roster that way. Also.
Yeah, because let's be honest, you can upgrade the McBride and Sims parts of the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Obi, like, maybe they would go for a guy like Obi. I don't know. I think basically you really need to, for this to work for OG, you have to be trading just draft picks and you can't go over the top. I think not more than one of the New York's, I guess maybe one of the New York Knicks' own picks. Maybe two. Did you do this?
I would do one unprotected. Take all the protecteds. I don't care. I think they're garbage. And then throw in a guy who's not. Throw in Obi. I mean, as much as I like Obi, like, he's not going to get minutes behind Randall. So.
I'm not giving up the Dallas pick this year either. Right. I want the two picks that are in this year's draft.
Yeah. And I don't want to make those package picks. Them and trade down or all that bullshit. Draft, use those picks. I want to see
what draft we players. Get.
It's supposed to be a stacked draft class.
Don't say, hey, 16 guys were taken. They're the only good guys in the team on the draft. We're just going to pick punt to see what Charlotte will give us in 5 years from now.
Rob said it really makes me sad just how average RJ is this far in his career.
I mean, this is one of those things where people say, well, you know, if RJ was drafted 25th in the draft, he'd be fine. It's just because of where he was taken in the draft.
Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah, it's frustrating because you want an all-star at number three.
Yeah. I mean, top five, you want an all-star.
He's fine. RJ, since his stomach flu and all that, his offensive numbers have been pretty good. Like, he's been shooting really well. His defense apparently has not recovered from the stomach flu because his defense has been atrocious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. He started off the season looking all right on defense and absolute trash on offense, and now it's completely flipped.
I don't know if he's gained extra weight because he's put on muscle. He looks slower. And I don't know. If his defense was better, Knicks would win some more games also. Well, I mean, that's the theory of just – if you could just swap him directly for OG, I mean, people say that's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy.
But OG plays really good defense, and that seems to be what kills us with RJ is his defense. So RJ – sat last night for the last 7 or 8 minutes of the fourth quarter and then sat for the entire overtime. He wasn't happy about that. There have been a number of games where he sat at the end of games. How do you feel about that?
Nice says RJ is worse than average. I think that he was having a bad game, and he was also playing bad on defense. And so Tibbs said IQ was playing really well. We're going to go with IQ. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I don't think there's anything more to it than that.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, if you're upset that you're not in the closing lineup, play better.
I mean, you could say Randall was having a bad game, and he was. But
he was, absolutely.
You know, I don't like IQ has potential to outplay RJ. I don't think Obi is going to outplay Randall.
Yeah, I mean, that's also the issue is that so IQ's playing really well. The guy who's replacing you is having a very good game. Whatever you're going to say about Obi, I mean, the Lakers have Anthony Davis out there and LeBron James. They're both, beyond being very good players, both very big players. You need Randall's size out there. Obi cannot Obi's just not a strong, not as strong of a player. He cannot compensate. You kind of need Randall out there. RJ, I mean, in theory, you could put Randall to the bench and have RJ out there, but his...
Well, I think the decision was all on defense because you could say, yeah, Obi can do it. You know, Obi can score maybe more efficiently than Randall was playing yesterday. But defensively, Randall's just better than Obi. And I think most of Tibbs' decisions revolve around the defensive end. And that's why IQ was there instead of RJ.
It's also a lot of games the Knicks lose. They scored enough points to beat the Lakers. Mm-hmm. They score enough points against a number of teams to win the games. Usually it's the defense that kills them. Mm-hmm. The defense has to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, there was another game where people were bitching about Obi's minutes, and you're like, yeah, Obi's defense sucks. I'm sorry that Tibbs is a defensive-first coach, and you don't really want a guy that values defense, but he can't. It sucks that Obi's not a great defender. It sucks that Evan Fournier is not a great defender, so he loses three-point shooting, but Tibbs wants to go with the guys to play defense. And I'm sorry also he doesn't hold Randall as accountable as the rest of the team, but kind of is what it is. He still can hold other players accountable without, like, holding Randall accountable.
And it's not like Grimes was lighting it up on offense, but he plays good defense, so he's in the starting lineup now. It's all defensive decisions, which I get, especially when you really – Fournier is the only good three-point shooter on the whole team.
And Is it fair for a coach to have different standards for different players or treat different players different ways?
Well, those are two different things. I think having different standards is not great, but I think treating them different is fine because players have different personalities and they react differently to, you could treat two people the same way and they have completely different reactions. So
I mean, the argument last season was the Knicks that Tibbs needed to hold Randall accountable, mm-hmm. and people gave him so much crap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the counter argument was Randall seems something's going on. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't know about. He seems really fragile. Maybe Tibbs is trying to be like extra delicate with him.
It could be. I mean, I don't think many people would disagree that something was going on with Randall and he looked like he was about to snap every single day last season. Who knows what the hell it was? It seems to be pretty much resolved this season. But yeah, if I had a guy who was about to snap and he was one of my better players, I would probably give him a little more leeway so he didn't snap.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, Tibbs didn't do as much accountability as people hoped last year. And as a result, Randall has had a really good season. Mm-hmm. So maybe his approach with Randall is different than other players, but he also, there's a reason for it. I mean, Randall has also said now he meditates. He does a lot more to keep himself calm, mm-hmm. and which seems to be working. By the way, just on a separate note, early in the year, I made a point that I felt like Randall stopped like posting up at the three-point line, and now he seems to do it on every play.
I mean, there's a lot to be said about the offense. I mean, even Brunson, like, I don't know. He does a really good job of like penetrating. He does that move where he stops short and takes a step back and does the little floater, but he's not like getting a lot of other people involved. It seems like just like almost like another ISO player at this point.
I mean, if you asked him, he'd probably say, would you pass to these guys? No one can make a shot but me.
I mean, then he'd be like, okay, that's kind of fair. But still, we were both expecting like 8 assists a game from Brunson. And
his numbers are not. Yeah, it seems like the Knicks have 3 guys that go ISO. Randall, RJ, and their point guard all the time.
I mean, it doesn't feel like to me that he's averaging 6 assists a game.
I mean, he gets them. I mean, guys also miss shots, but he's not setting guys up as much as you'd like.
It just, I don't know. It feels less to me.
I think he, I love Brunson. I'm very happy he'll be here. He's better at point guard we've had in 20 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know the last one, maybe since Marbury. It's almost like he needs another point guard next to him to balance out his sometimes ISO play.
And I don't know, maybe it really is the fact that like nobody else on the team can shoot.
Yeah, maybe it's the offense being drawn up. What do you think of, so speaking of RJ and not starting, should IQ has been really good lately on defense. His offense has been better. What do you think about IQ starting over RJ? Is that something we cannot talk about, or is something can we? Well, I guess like in some Knicks spaces, you cannot talk about that. Maybe IQ should be starting over RJ.
It makes the starting lineup a little small. And
yeah,
it might not be bad as far as having two guys that can distribute. That might help Brunson a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, also the defense is better, even though the starting lineup's smaller because RJ's defense has been crap. The offense on the bench is better because RJ's playing more with the bench. Even RJ has been playing a lot with the bench anyway because he's been staggering lineups. I don't know. IQ, I like what he's giving. It seems to fit better with the starters than RJ has been. Or just like, now you don't have another guy. Even IQ's been going a lot of ISO.
I know.
Remember when IQ used to pass to Obi? He stopped passing to Obi. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah. So nice things that would hurt the bench really bad. But I feel like RJ can take over the bench unit and like, really lead, because if there's been a couple of times where RJ was with like just the rest of the bench, and I felt like it really opened up his game.
I mean, pretty much that's what Tibbs has been doing every game now, is RJ being spending a lot of time with the bench. Like he'll sub out early, and IQ will take over. I guess this also kind of makes the point moot because like IQ is has been getting more minutes with the starters, and RJ's been doing a lot of minutes with the bench just because of this reason. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Knicks bench kind of sucks. Outside of IQ, the bench is just terrible.
Can I delete the episode at the beginning of the season where like when I was like, we're 3 deep in every position?
I mean, the bench, you just need better play. I mean, Deuce McBride, I like McBride on some level, but he's a G leaguer right now. Maybe he'll develop. I'd keep him. There's no reason to get rid of him. But like, you would want a team good enough not to give Deuce McBride minutes right now.
I mean, honestly, we thought Hart and Rose and Fournier were all going to contribute. We thought Cam was going to do something. I mean, that's like 5 guys right there.
Yeah. Hey, so do you want to hear the latest on Cam?
Sure.
Okay. So he's been already put in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. He's the greatest player. Actually, no. Ian Begley posted this on a possibility of why Cam has been benched. Basically, once Grimes returned to the regular rotation, Reddish's minutes and role decreased. He was out of the rotation by December 4th. That night, the Knicks beat the Cavs. It was the start of a season-altering 8-game winning streak. At one point before the December 4th game, Reddish expressed displeasure to a Knicks assistant coach about the way Tibbs was using him per people familiar with the matter. Mm-hmm. Reddish has not played since, and he's expressed his displeasure. Which is suffering, I guess. So I guess we did not have no one had officially reported that he had complained about his use. Mm-hmm. What do you think about, and there was a possibility that Begley said that Tibbs never wanted Cam on the team. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he's kind of standing up to management by not playing him. What do you think about that theory?
I don't know. It seems a little like, seems a little strange. I do think it would be really weird if Cam said, I don't like the way you're using me. And Tibbs is like, well, now I'm never playing you again. Maybe it's true, but that it seems a little weird.
I mean, I'm imagining Cam made a much bigger deal about this than like, I imagine this wasn't like, hey, I don't kind of like how you're using me. I imagine he was like, I'm being used wrong. I should be a focal point on offense. I'm one of the best. I'm sure he kind of did it in a way that was offensive to the coaching staff.
It must have been, because I mean, it really doesn't make sense. Like, if Tibbs is really that unreasonable, then he's a maniac.
He seems to give, I mean, because one of the things they said is like, even in blowouts, Cam doesn't leave the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Something obviously happened. Maybe the Knicks just said to him, maybe at that point, maybe there are further discussions where they just said, fine, we'll find a new home for you. And we're just going to find, it won't happen tomorrow, but before the trade deadline, we'll get rid of you. I mean, it's also kind of, hey, you know that guy that plays shit defense, who's super inconsistent on offense, and we're giving him 20 minutes a game? He thinks he doesn't get enough minutes.
Right.
Sometimes it kind of like, you're the ninth guy on the bench and you haven't been that good and you're making a huge complaint. Like, if you're Obi, I can see at least Obi complaining and go like, hey, I know Randall's been good and all, but I'm giving my 100% on offense and nothing on defense, and I want to be out there more.
Yeah, it's hard to analyze these stories when you don't know how things were said and how they were approached, but to me, it just doesn't seem to – something doesn't add up.
I'm excited for Cam to be on another team very soon, him to put up like 16 points in the game, and the entire Twitterverse be like, LOL, Knicks, and then him to be released from that team by the end of the season.
So Knox.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, Knox hasn't been released yet, but
yeah, well, he's not on the Hawks anymore. He's on Detroit. Yeah. So
yeah,
I remember the Knicks weren't the last team to pass on him. Frank writes, going to questions. This team needs a superstar to take the next step to be a legit contender. Who should it be, at what cost, and when? So the Knicks make a move for, so by the way, Jay, are you three picks? One of them is their own. Or say two of them. Say it's the 2024 and 2026 first-round picks and one protected pick for OG. Are you doing it? Two unprotected.
No.
You're not going to have unprotected sex with Masai?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. Do you think if they trade from us to OG, that kind of caps them in their ability to trade for another first star? Because you're giving up too much draft capital to make another swing.
Well, if you do one unprotected and like two protected, you still have enough to make a trade for a star. You'd probably have to throw in a player or two. The thing is, I think that the Knicks fans are overrating a lot of their players. I don't think GMs around the league are like, oh my God, we could get RJ and Obi. Like, I don't think that's happening around the league.
I think the draft picks are what people seem to care about or care the most about. Yeah, I think we rate our players higher. I mean, if anything, I feel like of our younger players, Grimes might rate higher than anyone else because of his potential on both sides of the floor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he hasn't blown me away yet, but he is a piece I would like to keep.
I love his passing. I love his driving to the basket, his passing around the basket. His three-point shooting, his form looks great. It just hasn't been going in lately. I would really want to keep Grimes overall.
Honestly, I'm at the point where there's about five guys on the team I'd like to keep, and they could trade with the rest of them. It's fine.
Who are the five? Let's see, Jay. Let me see if I can guess your five guys.
Okay.
The five guys that you would like to keep, obviously you would trade them in a good enough trade, you'll trade them. But the five guys you want to keep are Brunson,
mm-hmm.
Grimes,
mm-hmm.
Mitch,
mm-hmm.
IQ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be either it's not Obi. It is not. It's either Randall or RJ. Who do you like better, Jay? I'm thinking at this point you like Randall better than RJ.
Correct.
You just canceled our show, Jay.
I mean, the problem is, you know, a lot of people say you can't win without like a number one guy. How many number one guys are there in the league? Six?
Yeah, there really aren't that many. Most of them haven't won the title.
Nice says Grimes, IQ, Randall, Brunson, and Sims. Sims.
I disagree strongly about Sims. I mean, I like Sims, and there's no reason to get rid of him on his money, but I'm not seeing any amazing potential about Sims.
Right.
He's currently the worst center on the team. But I'd keep him. I mean, like, yeah. Hart has been playing better.
Yeah, Hart's been outplaying Sims lately.
And Mitch is better.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Sims. I mean, he's a cheap contract. You keep him next year. There's no reason to get... You should have three deep at center. Seems like it makes sense.
Yeah, especially since centers tend to be a little injury prone.
By the way, Toronto Raptors, the New York Knicks. The Raptors keep beating the Knicks when the Knicks play them. Or giving them a lot of... I guess we beat them once. But whose roster do you like better?
Whose roster I like better as far as...
whose roster? Like you, like if you can just switch rosters, would you swap rosters with them?
Toronto. So Toronto, you have
Scotty Barnes,
Trent. Why do they suck? They got a newbie.
They suck though. They do. There's no like, they only beat the Knicks. Like their record is really bad this year. They're like, I think they're seventh or eighth seed right now in the where are they tankathon. They are currently the sixth seed.
Okay, so you got Barnes, Trent Jr., Anunoby, Van Fleet, Siakam. Precious has been having a good season. I mean...
Would you swap teams with roster with them? They don't have a number one.
I want to say yes, but like, why are they so bad?
Yeah, that's really... They don't seem like they have a much worse roster than Knicks. They seem like a very close roster at the least, a very close roster. They're the same. Like, it's not like they're playing different teams. Why are they so much worse than the Knicks?
It's very confusing. I like a lot of their pieces. Although,
yeah,
Van Fleet's getting to the point where I'm kind of like, I think I might be glad that the Knicks didn't pay him all that money.
He looks great against the Knicks, but I guess not against everyone else. I was listening to the Ringer's NBA podcast just now, and they were saying, like, Toronto should really trade Van Fleet, mostly because it'll just make the team worse, and they can just tank better. But also, like, they can find a better point guard for the team thereafter.
Right.
But it was they clearly will not win as many games without him, but Toronto's roster is, like, it's a weird, like, you wouldn't want to blow up this roster, but trading OG for picks and Van Fleet for picks and then like retooling would not be the worst idea if you're Toronto. It's just weird how close Toronto's team is. And they're talking about trading half the roster and the Knicks are like, we're all in.
I mean, I trust Masai. Like he's probably going to make some good moves to get better fits on the team. And
yeah, they obviously have fit issues. I mean,
well, they also have
guys been injured.
I feel like they have a better coach too.
Yeah, I mean their coach does have a title.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird. They're also expected to be a lot better. They have a lot of length, a lot of size. The pieces maybe don't fit amazingly together. I guess they don't have a true center. It's just an interesting team going in an opposite direction than the Knicks are. I think the Knicks should keep building on this young roster, but it's just weird how Toronto is.
At first glance, I would say yes, but I'm going to say no. There's something not right with that roster.
Something's wrong, clearly. I mean, They're obviously winning less games as of now than the Knicks, like by.
Well, it doesn't help
that by that much.
Barnes is having a pretty bad season after winning Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean he would be one of the key guys you'd hope to have a really like you're building your team. One of the guys you're building around is Barnes. I mean, Toronto only has four less wins than the Knicks. So it's not like it's not like such a different record, but,
well, I have good news.
What?
So last episode, the Knicks had the toughest record, in the NBA for the rest of the season. After playing a couple games, they now only have the third toughest.
Okay. If we can keep winning some of these games, then it'll get better from here.
Sure. We'll go with that.
By the way, the Hawks, apparently, I saw this thing. They've significantly decreased their asking price in John Collins' trade.
They've been trying to trade John Collins since they drafted him.
It's weird. So Obi, if he really develops, he could be almost as good as John Collins. And Atlanta's like, how do we get rid of this player? Because, I mean, you have to say, like, one of the best cases for Obi would be like a John Collins.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the question. So who should be our Frank and Rowe? Who should it be and at what price? So I guess my point was with OG, if you go for OG, it might hinder your ability to get anyone else, a true star, because you really want to have a maximum number of picks. Devin Booker would be the guy I would love to fucking get.
Well, yeah.
I've said that before.
I think he would be the last, even if Phoenix completely blows up their team, I don't think they're trading Booker.
I mean, if he asked out, I guess. Like, I mean, you're the whole thing is, this guy has to ask out.
Yeah.
So Luka has to ask. I mean, obviously Luka would be your number one. But Luka or Devin Booker, no team is voluntarily trading away a guy they think is a true star.
Right.
Except Utah this offseason. Last offseason.
Yeah, but I mean, they gave it a years with them and it just wasn't working out.
Yeah, they gave it a long time and they really wanted to reset in the I mean, they also currently they're still in the They're 26 and 26, so they,
they've done a weird job tanking. They got like 7 first rounders, so I mean, not bad.
No, not bad at all. And they managed to trade for a guy who's having an all-star caliber of the year with Markkanen.
So they basically have a slightly worse record than the Knicks, but way more draft picks.
Yeah, they have a lot of draft picks. Okay, so star players. I don't know who else the other star players they would get. There aren't too many that like are obviously going to be. There's no one obviously going to be available. I don't think Jokic is asking out anytime soon. I don't think Embiid's asking to the Knicks anytime soon.
It's going to have to be really a surprise that we don't see coming. There is one every year, but we don't.
And the only other one I could say is I said this one before, which would be kind of crazy, but LeBron's like, okay, fine, I'll come to New York. And the Lakers are like, we're not going anywhere anyway, so give us some picks.
Right, right.
And would you do that? So let's just say 3 Knicks unprotected picks for LeBron.
No.
2.
No.
You would not do 2 unprotected picks for LeBron.
No.
And I understand he's 100 years old.
Yeah, he's going to be 39. I understand he's having an incredible year, but like...
Incredible.
And I've been saying it for 5 years, but he's going to have to decline at some point.
Right. But let's just say he has 3 more seasons close to this left. Knicks would really actually contend for a title.
Yeah.
Maybe the Lakers would. The Lakers should probably move. But again, if you really believe he's going to have 3 more good years like this, then maybe the Lakers just say, like, let's see if we can win something with him here. Even though the roster, they can't figure it out right now. Okay. Rob writes, do you think it's a big deal Tibbs benched RJ last night for most of the fourth and all of overtime? And after the game, RJ refused to talk to the media and reportedly said, I got nothing to say.
I think it's much ado about nothing right now. I do think Tibbs is getting fed up with RJ's defense, though.
Do you think this would have been as big a story if the game didn't go to overtime? Because then he's just benched for the last 7 minutes.
That overtime probably made it a bigger story, but RJ's minutes have been creeping downward the last couple of games.
He also played a bunch with the bench, which meant he needed to be subbed out at some point in the fourth quarter so he didn't play like a too long of a stretch. It's just that he could have come back in like with 4 minutes to go.
Right. Actually, Nice just said LeBron has a lot of friends and he won't be coming alone. It's a good point. LeBron could probably recruit some people.
You think he could recruit better than Leon Rose? Come on, Jay. Oakster on Twitter writes, would the Knicks have the same record if there was no Randall or if Tibbs was fired or both? That seems to be what the irrational Knicks Twitter thinks the solution is.
Knicks record is so much worse without Randle.
Yeah. What about without Tibbs?
I still think it's worse because I think the team's playing hard for Tibbs. Look, Tibbs isn't a perfect coach, but, you know, the Nuggets are complaining about their coach on Twitter.
Everyone complains about their coach.
Yeah, yeah. So just want to put it in perspective, like, you know, arguably the best team in the league, and they're, like, mad at their coach.
I mean, it's also crazy because so who would you say that, like, you said Tibbs is the best coach the Knicks have had since who?
Probably, like, Woodson.
Yeah, he's the first one that comes to mind, right?
There's been, what, four since Woodson?
Hornacek, Fisher, Rambis for half a second.
Miller.
Obviously, Mike Miller. Who's the worst one of all? Fizz,
yeah.
Fizdale.
So they, yeah, so five other coaches, yeah.
Jesus Christ. But my point was, if you remember when Woodson was here, if you looked into our old shows, we were complaining to no end about Woodson. And Knicks fans were complaining to no end. It wasn't just us. Everyone was complaining about how bad of a job Woodson was doing. We always complain about the coach. They all have shortcomings.
We had one episode called Mike Woodson, the greatest coach of all time. And then, like, 5 games later, we started bitching about him until he got fired.
And we were like, oh, when Phil came here, we were like, thank God Woodson's gone. And he was a fine coach. And we kind of, you always give the coach a lot of, they all have faults. No one's a perfect coach. I mean, obviously, if we had, like, yeah, Pop here, you'd be like, okay. I mean, I'm just going to believe everything Pop does is fine.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're gonna give, what are the things the coach needs to do in this situation?
I mean, honestly, other than Pop and Spoelstra, like, those are the only two coaches where you probably give them, like, you know,
full benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, you want a coach that everyone plays hard for. I mean, obviously winning is number one, but everyone plays hard for. Knicks seem to play hard for him. You want a guy in this situation, a guy that develops the young guys. Grimes is developing. IQ is developing. Guys are developing under him. Obi's not, obviously.
The problem is they have just no offense. There's no offensive plan.
Yeah, I mean, that's the...
He's making me wish that they had D'Antoni again.
Right. Well, he needs help on the offense. He needs an assistant coach that he can work well with to make the offense better. He needs to also be open to this.
Yeah.
Maybe Leon Rose has come to him and go like, hey, you need some help on offensive on the offense and talk to so-and-so, your assistants. And maybe Tibbs is not open to that. Maybe Tibbs is like, I need full control. And then that's not going to work.
Well, but maybe, if that's the case, then he does need to be fired.
Right. But Leon needs to figure that out. Like, next year should look different. Either there's an assistant coach who makes sense for the offense, and the offense looks – and they're really working on the offense, or Tibbs is not here.
Yeah.
I mean, the ISO stuff is just insane how often they go. They don't want to pick and roll. They don't – there's no off-the-ball movement.
No. There's nothing.
There's nothing. It's but yeah, Tibbs gets them more wins and Randle gets them more wins. And what would the Knicks record be if they didn't have Obi?
Same.
I don't know why I picked on Obi. same exact record.
We have more questions?
No, we don't get a lot of questions today. Sorry. Do you want more questions? I can make some more questions up for you.
We are NY Knicks Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Patreon. The New York Knicks Podcast.com is our website. NYKnicksPodcast@gmail.com is our email.
So I noticed also, I don't know if you've noticed this at all when Obi's out there. I'm not even necessarily picking on Obi, but like there's a couple plays where he just stood 8 to 9 feet back of the 3-point line for the entire play. Mm-hmm. Like he was looking for someone like passing the ball so he would do something, but it wasn't clear what he would do. And then there were a couple plays where he stood in the corner where like he kind of threw up his hands. Like he put his hands up kind of halfway like, hey guys, I'm here. I guess I'm not being part of the play. Oh well. And just runs back. Like he just knew the ball wasn't coming to him. Mm-hmm. He looked so defeated. And on the one hand, Obi's not an amazing player. He can't create his own offense. So I get like, It's weird how like he's used so poorly.
I mean, most players on offense are being used poorly.
He's a guy that should be using the pick and roll. He's a guy that should be attacking the basket. Like, there should be, all he's doing is doing threes from the corner, and he's been making them as of late, but like,
it's the Randall and Brunson show. I mean, that's, they just take turns basically doing ISO, and then sometimes yeah. RJ ISOs. RJ takes almost as much shots as the rest of them. It's just,
By the way, at least as far as Randall over RJ, at least Randall will pass the ball sometimes. Or does RJ pass?
No, never.
He just doesn't seem to pass very much.
No. Also, Randall's a really good rebounder, and he's a better defender. So, like, there's more aspects to Randall's game.
Yeah. I mean, this is... I wish they could have a coach that could figure out how to utilize some of these guys better. I mean, also, the team just needs more talent.
They do. They do. I mean, you ideally, Randall should be a number two guy.
Gary Trent, one unprotected pick. You doing it?
You got to pay him. Then you really...
assuming you have the bird rights, okay? Because I obviously doesn't work if you don't have bird rights.
Yeah. What is Trent's... Can he shoot threes?
Against the Knicks, yes.
I'm checking his three-point percentage, because if he can shoot threes, yes. I'm desperate for a three-point shooter on this team.
I mean, does it make sense?
He's shooting 36.7% this season. He's a 38% career three-point shooter.
I mean, his numbers are elevated because he plays the Knicks.
I'll take 38%.
I mean, that'd be pretty good. I mean, he does seem to like... He seems like a pretty good shooter when he's playing against the Knicks. I mean, I say it every year, but the Knicks need to nail some draft picks and not stop playing around the draft also. Would you... The Knicks, let's say the Knicks right now, they currently have 17th pick and the... Oh, it looks like they're top. Okay, so currently they have the 17th and 18th pick in the draft. Would you package those to move up? I mean, how high would it have to be to make it make sense?
I mean, you got to see who's...
I mean, I understand you have to see who's available.
Yeah, let's shake out a little bit. Like, I don't even know.
Jay, the draft is tomorrow. Come on, Jay.
I don't even know who's available in the draft yet.
I know Wembanyama is available for everyone but us.
Yeah. And some guy named Scoot's supposed to be amazing, too.
Yeah. The Knicks will not be picking those. I'm very excited, though, to hear the rumors leading up to the actual draft. Knicks are thinking about trading up for Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Knicks are thinking about trading up for the first and second pick. Why not?
I mean, with 17 and 18, you're not going to move up a lot.
No, I feel like...
What are you going to get? Like, 15, maybe?
Yeah, I feel like you might want to just use both those picks, not trade down, mm-hmm. and just try to get some talent. There's got to be guys that can shoot the ball around that position, maybe who are wings,
yep.
shooting guards, shooters.
I'd be targeting all the shooters in the, 12 to 20 range.
I mean, we just need shooting. I mean, we really are one of the worst shooting teams in the NBA. And
that's not like just us being negative. That's a fact.
No, you just look at the stats. I mean, you could argue that Randall, Brunson are all hindered by the fact that you can't kick out the guys that can make shots. I mean, again, and I think I like Grimes a lot. If Grimes has been hitting his shots lately, games would look a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Or McBride or... Obi. I mean, Obi's been doing much better lately, but...
A couple, yeah.
He's streaky, he's shooting above average now, but
streaky, yeah. He had a stretch where he couldn't make one.
Yeah.
He's been making them lately. Again, he should be better. Like, it's weird in the second unit. Like, Obi was drafted because you were like, he's NBA ready on offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the second unit. He delivers almost no offense in the second unit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just on him, it's on how he's being utilized. You can't figure out how to use this guy at all to be a better offensive player.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, well... Okay.
Let me just... Jay, before next show, mm-hmm. the Knicks will be playing... God damn it. Where is this? I had this up, but I...
And you're around next week, right? Then you're not
around next week.
And then the week after, you're not.
I am away February 19th. I fly off for a week.
Okay. Well,
okay.
We'll have to cram in a trade deadline episode before you go.
No, I'm going to be the isn't the deadline the 9th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gone the 19th. It's the 9th? That week.
Is that soon?
Yeah, it's really soon.
Okay.
So before next show, yeah, next week isn't the trade deadline next week?
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I got that. I guess I got that mixed up with the All-Star game. I was thinking like the 15th or something.
Tune into the New York Knicks podcast for maybe facts. You should double check anything you actually want to know. NBA trade deadline. We're as good. It's February 9th. Yeah. We're as good as a Google search away from maybe having the right information. So we should do a trade deadline.
We have to.
The Knicks. Yeah, we'll figure that out. But for next show, the Knicks play Miami, the Clippers, and Philly, all at home. But why are the Knicks so bad at home, Jay?
It's the media's fault.
The media blocks their free throw shots?
Yeah, yeah.
The media drew up that bad play against the Lakers?
I'm going to say 1-2.
I'm going to say 2-1.
I think they beat the Clippers.
I think they beat the Clippers and they beat Philly.
Okay. Well, hopefully they do.
Yeah, hopefully they do.
Because anytime Harden loses, I also get a little happy.
I can't stand Harden.
I can't either. I don't know. Ref baiting is just not interesting to me.
They got it. There are lots of rules that should change in the NBA. I feel like I complain too much about I have to stop myself from complaining about refereeing. But like even last night, but I don't think the foul calls were that different overall. But the Lakers got some touch fouls that were absurd.
I mean, the refs are a problem when they announce who's reffing and the betting lines change. Like, that's a problem.
I feel like if you're the offensive player and you purposely run into the defensive player to draw a foul, they shouldn't call a foul.
Yeah, you're allowed to do no calls.
Yeah. I mean, there's so often where, like, the player just throws himself in the, like, oh, he should have been standing there when the offensive guy threw himself into him. Foul.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back next week. We're also going to be doing an episode of our comedy podcast next week, The Brink of Sanity. So you can check that out, brinkofsanityshow.com, or you can subscribe.
Will you be doing your OnlyFans?
Maybe. You could subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of those other places.
Oh, I got something. Something big also. Okay. We have, and which we need to add this somewhere so people can find it besides here, but we have a phone number you can call.
Okay.
516-584-4112. That's 516-484-4112. That is our voicemail number. If you want to call, leave a voicemail for us. We will play it on the show.
Try to keep it at a decent length, please.
I don't know if it even says it. We don't actually have a voicemail record. You'll just go to beep, and then you leave your voicemail. It'll end up on the show. I don't think we don't have anything that says like you reached the New York Knicks podcast on there.
Right.
Because I don't know how to. I have to figure out how to do that.
But yeah, please try and keep it to 60 seconds or less, please.
Okay. But call it. Yeah, call that number. Jay, you going to add that number to the show notes?
Sure.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back next week. And goodbye. This is the end.